Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final second. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation. Welcome back to hour number two at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. And I tell you what, before we get underway, we want to hear from you. That's right. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And as a reminder, the next generation of sports radio talk is here. You can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure and join us online, sbnationradio.com. And I am so delighted to always open up the mic. That's because our executive producer at SB Nation Radio, Ronnie Culver, is back in studio. And I tell you what, Ronnie, on this show, we've been talking a lot of preseason football, the NFL. What, in your mind, is the biggest storyline that stands out so far?
The biggest storyline is quarterbacks. Always quarterbacks. Uh-oh. Number one position in football. It's always going to be quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill going down yesterday with a big knee injury. Fears are that it's going to be the ACL, which he tore last year as well.
Right.
Does that open the door for another certain quarterback who has been at the forefront of trying to find a job? Colin Kaepernick. We know that he's been talked about heavily with the Ravens. The Dolphins now may be taking a look at him.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, too, as you bring up Colin Kaepernick. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about him, a conflicted debate. Do you think that he will get back to work in 2017? And do you also ever wonder, like, you know, Ronnie, does he have any regret that he has taken such a strong stance and on some of his views?
I hope he doesn't have any regrets for taking a strong stand. I mean, you need men.
Agree
like
or disagree.
Agree or disagree. It doesn't matter what he's standing for, but I hope he doesn't have any regrets for the stand that he took. Will it help him gain employment again? I don't know. There's a lot of people who are put off by that, but at the same time, we have ex-felons who did time, who are able to find jobs in the NFL, who get second chances. I don't know why we can't give this guy a second chance.
Okay, so when we talk about Colin Kaepernick and you think about just his demeanor, his disposition, who might be the best coach suited for him?
Bruce Arians.
Okay.
I don't know why that name comes to my mind. There's no place for him in Arizona, unfortunately. They're set in that position, but I think that is the one guy who could probably handle that much controversy and get the most out of his player. I think another place where he would feel comfortable and feel good would be in Dallas with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones seems to like reclamation projects.
They're going to take everybody.
Yeah, he likes reclamation projects, yeah. And you know, this, it's a safe spot for him to be.
Okay, that's the voice of Ronnie Culver, our executive producer at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to the next generation of sports radio. That's right. It is time to go inside the ropes with our weekly golf segment. We are so delighted to welcome back to SB Nation Radio. That is former PGA Tour player and author Larry Miller. We're going to discuss a number of topics on the PGA. We're also going to discuss, how about this, the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Things are certainly heating up as the PGA is in Akron, Ohio at the Firestone Country Club. Larry, it's good to have you back with us.
Well, great to be back too. Good evening to you and to your audience.
Well, I know our audience missed you last week, but a lot has transpired since you were on the show, and you're pure genius because you predicted that Jordan Spieth would win the British Open. What a brilliant performance and an extraordinary finish. It was for the ages.
Well, it was an educated guess because of the fact of the way that Jordan plays, you know, and as I said on the last show, that the British Open, that type of golf requires a meticulous type player who is very calculating and, you know, and places the ball strategically around the golf course. And that's just his game. Jordan, the way he plays, he goes about it, reminds me a lot, in a lot of ways, of Jack Nicklaus. They have a lot of similarities. They win tournaments with their mind, the way they think. as well as their style of play, which is that deliberate, you know, planning ahead, almost like a chess master, you know, playing, you know, thinking 1, 2, 3 moves ahead and where you're going to place it. And so anyway, it was a bit educated guess. I figured he would play well in that type of venue. So very exciting to see him pull through.
Well, that type of venue will test every aspect of your game, and it certainly tested him on that Sunday, you know, in that bizarre 13th hole. Jordan played it down and said it really wasn't that bad, but what say you in terms of Larry? How difficult was it for, you know, him to make that shot and just to get out of that hole and make a bogey? I mean, because it really was the turning point within that round.
Well, you know, sometimes bogey's not bad, and the position he was in, I know that he was thinking all the way, how can I get out of here with a 5? But I'll tell you the most impressive thing about it was the way that he slowed things down. You know, when a player gets in that type of situation, if you hit a really crazy wild shot or, you know, do something disastrous, most players tend to speed up. Time speeds up, and they just make one mistake after another. But he was very, very wise, way beyond his years, the way he slowed everything down, even to the point of apologizing to Matt Kuchar for taking so long.
Yeah.
But he was smart to do that, because by slowing it down like that, he was able to think it through and make all the right decisions about what he was going to do. And didn't surprise me at all, you know, when he got it down there in front of the green. And I know that he was really focusing on that pitch shot to get it up and down for bogey. Well, he did. And you know what? That bogey won the golf tournament for him, because if he makes double, it's a whole different situation.
You know, and you have to feel good, too, because we think about the collapse a year ago at the Masters. And do you think that's the changes that he had made within his game, that when you get into trouble, you don't rush the shot to try to quickly fix it? You have to be more methodical and take your time and make sure, you know, you're putting yourself in a position to be able to get that good shot and execute it.
Yeah, you have to have time to think, because if you're not thinking, then your body is just reacting, and you know it's gonna. And if you make a bad swing, if you go too fast to the next shot, you tend to replicate that bad swing. So you have to break the momentum, you have to break the rhythm, the bad rhythm, or the bad tempo, whatever, bad mechanic, and take the time to stop and say, okay, here's what happened there, and it's not going to happen again. But if you rush into the next shot, you tend to just reproduce it again. So anyway, that's really important for you know, players at all levels, even on a club level. If you're in your club championship, you know, and you get in trouble, slow it down, think it through, plan how to get out of it. You know, bogeys don't kill you in competition. Double bogeys and worse absolutely kill you. Because bogeys, you make a couple of bogeys or so, two or three, you can offset that with a few birdies, and you're right back to even par. But every time you make a double, then you need 2 birdies to make up for it, and that puts extra pressure on your game.
We are Inside the Ropes with PGA professional and author of his new book, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. Larry Miller, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're doing a recap of the British Open. And, you know, let's steer into the crystal ball. I mean, what are your thoughts about Jordan Spieth and his chance to become the youngest player in history to win the Grand, you know, a career Grand Slam at the PGA? I mean, the trajectory of his career now, it is up and up.
You know, he seems to be quietly sneaking up on history, you know, because he has these little bad streaks where he'll miss a cut or two, you know, and have a bad finish. But then the next thing you know, he's winning a couple in a row. And so he's kind of, you know, I'm not going to say under the radar, because he's at the forefront of the game right now, number 2 in the world. But it is kind of the way he is kind of sneaking up on history, and it's very exciting that he has this chance to become even younger than Jack Nicklaus to win a career Grand Slam. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he does it at the PGA, because the PGA is the weakest field in the majors. The PGA has, I don't know, 35 or 40 club professionals who qualify through their own club, you know, club professional championship, and the low, I don't think it's 35 or something, qualified for the PGA. So because of that, it's the weakest field in the majors, and that really favors the top players in the world, because they have fewer good players to beat. And so it wouldn't surprise me. Jordan's on a roll right now. He gets that putter going, going to be right there. He's got tons of confidence, too, right now. And so, you know, I hate to be I hate to keep picking the big guy, but I got to go with him in this one.
You know, and it's hard to believe, too, Larry, that Jordan Spieth is only 24 years old. I mean, how much better can he get? Here he is, a three-time major champion.
He's going to get better. You know, his swing is going to get better. It's going to evolve. You know, it's not like Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had just about a perfect swing, and then he devolved. He changed it, kept changing it, and ruined it, along with some other reasons. But he kept trying to change a perfect swing. In his mind, he thought he could get better. He didn't realize it was already as good as it gets. Now, Jordan does not have a perfect golf swing, and that's why he misses cuts, a couple of cuts in a row sometimes, and has bad finishes, because when his timing is off, those swing flaws show up and he doesn't play well. So his swing is going to get better as he goes along. It's going to get better mechanically, and his short game is already tremendous in the way he thinks. So there's every reason to believe strongly that he's going to get nothing but better. So look out. He stays healthy. That's the key thing. If Jordan stays healthy, he's got a chance to eventually eat away at that major record that Jack Nicklaus holds.
Just a few more minutes with Larry Miller. He is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player. He is the author of four books on golf and performance. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to get into on the show tonight, Larry, is, you know, one of the biggest storylines this summer has been the player-caddy relationship. Phil Mickelson and his longtime caddy, Jim Bones McKay, you know, they've gone their separate ways. And now Rory McIlroy has made a switch on the bag. Talk to me about, you know, what makes a good player-caddy relationship, the keys to that strong partnership. Give us those key components.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the fact that the player is the boss. And I don't care if it's your girlfriend or your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister or your close friend. The player is always the boss, okay, and holds the final decision. And what happens, and, you know, Rory McIlroy made a comment about this. He said that you know, his caddy, you know, it remains one of his closest friends in life, and they're still close friends. But he said that when you spend that much time with someone, little things begin to annoy you, yeah, like a marriage, you know. And so, but you know what? The caddy, and if you caddy for someone for a very long time, you can get complacent. And the caddy must always remember that the player is the boss, has the final word. You have to treat the player like a boss. It's just like if you're in an office. You know, the golf course is the player's office, and the caddy is an employee in that office. And so you have to look at it that way, and you have to treat that player with the same respect you would give a boss in the office, and realize that you have to stay professional with the way you go about things. And very easy to get complacent, you know, and say, well, you know, I've been caddying for 10 years, and we're close friends, as close as can be. So I can just relax a little bit, you know, and might have opened his mouth a little too much. I suspect with Rory that when he made that comment about little things begin to annoy you, I have to believe that there's a little bit more to the story, that the caddy probably overstepped his bounds. And eventually it started to aggravate Rory, and he figured that this is hurting my game, and so we need to make a change here. So I kind of suspect that's what happened. But anyway, to protect that relationship, the caddy must always remain the employee.
We got to wrap up our time as we are inside the ropes with Larry Miller, PGA professional and author of his book, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. That's some good stuff. We got to dive a little bit deeper into that over the next few weeks, the player-caddy relationship and all about chemistry. So, Larry, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Terrific. I can't wait. Okay, great.
You bet. Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter at eRadio Sports, and we will be right back.
This is SB Nation AM. And of course the sleep was better by myself. Not a doubt in my mind.
All those pillows.
All that space. You properly turning the air conditioning to exactly what you like.
You seem like a guy who sleeps in like the 50s. You probably, as soon as you get out of the
hotel, it only goes to 60. If I could, I would. And a ceiling fan overhead.
And nude with no sheet.
Well, that's, you know, if you want, I can Skype for proof, but no, there's some clothing.
That's how
I'm not going to get into how much, Solly.
He's the air of the brain, Solly.
Well, that's how the bed bugs can get to you easier. And the bodily fluids of the thousands of others who have slept on those sheets.
Yeah. Every morning, Lynn, Murray, and Solly get you ready for work on SB Nation Radio. This is SB Nation Radio.
Tune into the Sports Bosses every day with Jim Rodriguez and Sean Stanley right here on SB Nation Radio from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern. You can find the show on Twitter and Instagram at the Sports Bosses. And make sure if you missed the show to check it out at podcastarena.com.
What's up, man? This is KD. 35 for the Warriors. Listen to SB Nation.
Follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and listen all the time at SBNationLive.com.
This is Nate and Crate on SB Nation Radio.
I saw a tweet earlier, and you subtweeted it, which I thought was funny. He is now being called the best player in baseball. Wait a minute. Have y'all been watching Jose Altuve?
Like last year, year before that.
What? He was too short for you to see him on the field? Is that the deal? I don't understand. The guy's playing lights out.
Jose Altuve has led the majors in hits 3 years in a row. Guess who leads the majors in hits this year?
Make it four.
Jose Altuve has led the league in steals 2 of the last 3 years. He's led the league in hitting 2 of the last 3 years. Guess who leads the league in hitting now? Suddenly, Jose Altuve is the great. Suddenly? Wait. Suddenly? Where the hell have you been?
Tune in to Nate and Crate Monday through Friday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on SB Nation Radio.
On Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, you can get your sports from all angles. Radio host Jason Brennan, longtime agent Dave Meltzer, and New York Yankees legend Jim Leyritz break down sports from every perspective on the Sports Blender on SB Nation Radio. To get more content on your favorite team, you can check out our friends at SBNation.com. They have team-specific sites to fit your needs, whether it's basketball, baseball, NFL, or the school you graduated from. SB Nation has you covered.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. And before we completely change gears, we would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can always go back and listen to each and every interview at podcastarena.com. We've got you completely covered. We've hit on it all, MLB, NFL, preseason news and notes. And you know what? Right now, we're going to talk some harness racing. That's because the Hamiltonian is going to be getting underway. The home of it is CBS Sports Network. It's going to air Saturday at 5:30, from 4 to 5:30 Eastern Time. And it is truly such an honor to be visiting with the president and the CEO of Hamiltonian Society. And that is Mr. John Campbell. He is the all-time leading money winner for harness racing and has won 6 Hamiltonian titles. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Alyssa. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the program for the very first time. And I know many of my listeners, they may not be familiar with the Hamiltonian race. So we want you, let's open up and have you tell us a little bit about it. And what is it? Because certainly people, you know, we recognize the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont, because of that visibility. But they may not be familiar with the Hamiltonian.
Well, harness racing is a tradition in the United States. It dates back centuries. But the Hamiltonian is our biggest race. It's the most prestigious harness race in the world, I believe. And in order to win, a horse has to race 2 heats. There's 2 eliminations of 10 in one race, 9 in another. The top 5 horses come back the same day, about an hour and 15, 20 minutes later, and race again. And whoever wins that second heat will be declared the winner. And it's obviously it's $1 million purse, so there's a lot of money involved there. But the prestige and it enhances these horses' value tremendously if they're fortunate enough to win the Hamiltonian. They can go from a horse that's worth a couple hundred thousand to being worth $2 or $3 million in an afternoon if they could happen to be successful.
And as I understand, John, the race is a little bit different in that eliminations are held on the same day as the final. How does that work?
Well, it is unique. We only have a couple races in our sport that heat racing more than often in a day used to be a staple in our industry, but we've gotten away from it. We've only have a couple of races left, and this is one of them. It's more to determine stamina and the best horse that day. So it takes a really good trainer, driver, and horse, obviously, to put everything together to come out and race the two heats and come out a winner. So it's a survival of the fittest, so to speak.
You are listening to The Voice, the president and CEO of the Hambletonian Society. He is the all-time money winner for harness racing, won 6 Hambletonian titles, as I said at the top of our interview, and that is Mr. John Campbell joining us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So talk to us. Let's do a little bit of a preview. I mean, who is the favorite? Who's the favorite horse positioned to take the title?
Well, it's a wide-open race this year.
Is it? Okay.
And just a little backdrop, the favorite for the Hambletonian over the winter and through his first couple starts this year was a horse called Walmer. And it just goes to show you the heartbreak of our industry when you're dealing with horses. He had a slight injury, but it took him out of the biggest race we have, and it was heartbreaking for his trainer and owner. But it really opened up the race because there's no clear-cut favorite. I think in the first division, you're looking at a horse called International Money, and this is a horse that has French breeding in him. Mm. It's kind of unique, but he's a top horse, and I think he'll definitely be one of the favorites, along with Long Tom in the first division. Long Tom has raced very well. He's won 4 out of 5 races with a second this year, and so those will be the top two in that division. In the other division, we're looking at a horse called Enterprise, I think, is going to race very well. He's won 4 of 6 starts this year. Devious Man has won 4 of 6 as well. He'll likely be favored, although he has post 9, and that's a bit of a detriment. And the horse that has the rail, What the Hill, will be among the contenders in that race. Yeah, it's a little play on words. A little tough for the announcers, but he's also won 4 of 6 this year. So I think those are the top 5 contenders, but I think, unlike some years when you'll have horses that are 25-1 and don't have any chance, I think most of the connections this year think they have a chance of at least reaching that final.
The president and CEO of the Hambletonian Society is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That is Mr. John Campbell. He is an ultimate legend in the sport. And, of course, the Hambletonian, the home of the Hambletonian, is at the CBS Sports Network on Saturday from 4 to 5 Eastern Time. You got to be sure and check that out. And, you know, John, let me back up just a moment. You had mentioned one of the contenders being Devious Man, who has won 4 of 6 this year and finished no worse than 2nd in the other 2. What makes this horse so special? Tell us about it.
Well, any horse at this level has to be special to a certain extent. I think what makes Devious Man stand out a little bit is it has extremely quick speed off the gate, and he can get position. So he's usually forwardly placed in a race, and that's imperative because it's so difficult to come from way back and pass a whole field of horses. And if he gets a little bit of rest during that middle part of the race, he's got that exceptional kick the last quarter mile as well. So he's kind of got a double thing going in that he's great out of the gate, and if he gets that breather in the middle, he's got a real good kick the last quarter.
John, you're a Hall of Fame driver. You won 6 Hambletonian titles. Given the stature of this race, I mean, take us back to 1987 when you won your first Hambletonian. What were the emotions like? And did you think, I mean, wow, you talk about prolific, winning 6 total titles. I mean, that is absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you. When I think back to my first one, I had the best horse that I'd turned out that I ever driven in my career in Mack Lobel, and he was an overwhelming favorite going into the Hambletonian. So there's always a little bit of added pressure when you have that, because if you don't win, you think you as a driver made a mistake or just bungled the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But there was some pressure going in, but I've always said driving horses, I'd rather have that kind of pressure because that means you've got the best horse. And I did have the best horse that day, and he performed just exquisitely. And it was such a thrill, and that the Hambletonians stand out as the biggest victories of my career. It's just such a special race, and it meant so much to me, and still does. They just stand out just a little bit above any other victories that I had.
It is a special race, but you know what? 2017, John, has been a special year for you because in the month of March, you were elected as the president and CEO of the Hambletonian Society. Tell us a little bit about, as far as the vision that you have for your sport, the goals, the immediate goals that you would like to be able to accomplish.
Well, we're obviously the caretaker of the Hambletonian, and we also administer to the Breeders' Crown Stakes, which is a series of 12 championship races in the fall. And we promote stake racing and the breeding industry throughout North America. And one of our goals and mine is to, we have various factions within the industry, horsemen, racetrack, racing commission, is to try and get these entities working together for the betterment of the sport. As you said at the top, a lot of people aren't familiar with harness racing, and that's very true. But when people that haven't been to the races come out, they're infatuated by it.
Yeah.
And invariably, they wonder, where's this been? And we don't get the word out there near as good or as often as we should. So getting these factions working together and moving the industry forward, more marketing, more in the public eye, together with all them, I think is one of the major issues that we have and one that I'd like to try and promote.
You're listening to The Voice, President and CEO of the Hambletonian, John Campbell, with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And as I look at your career, I mean, no driver has had more success than you. What do you think was the key to your sustained success? I mean, you won every major race in the sport. You absolutely dominated, and you were a true force, John, to be reckoned with.
Well, obviously the horses are the key. I mean, I can drive as good as I possibly can. If you don't have horses that can go or have ability, you know, it's a futile effort. So I had tremendous horses drive, but I also had some really good connections with the owners and trainers over the years that gave me those opportunities. And fortunately for me, I was able to take advantage of them for, you know, a long period of time. And the key is it's really kind of difficult to, I think, great drivers, just like great baseball hitters or great quarterbacks, are born. There's just a natural knack that they have that other people don't, and I think that's the same in any physical or sport, that there's just people that are born that have that inherent knack and ability to see the game and feel the game, and I think that's the same with all top drivers throughout history.
What do you miss the most?
The competition, the winning. That's something, you know, that's all I've known since I was 17 years old, was going out there. And I never lost the feeling of when you did win a race, whether it was just a minor race, that feeling of satisfaction that your strategy with your horse paid off and it was better than anybody else's in that race. And that's something that it'll take a little while for that to go away.
President and CEO of the Hambletonian Society, Mr. John Campbell, has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is the ultimate legend in the sport. You definitely got to check out Harness Racing. The home of it is the CBS Sports Network this Saturday from 4 to 5:30 Eastern Time. First time on the show. It was a true pleasure. Thank you so much, John, and continued success.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and the 2017 NFL preseason preview continues as we are going to shine the spotlight on the AFC North and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, I tell you what, they've got a lot of talent, but can they get past the Patriots in the postseason? We've got a lot of questions. We're going to take a deep dive, and we are thrilled that a guy that is joining us right now, he knows a thing or two about his Steelers, and that is two-time Super Bowl champion, the great Ike Taylor. Ike, good evening. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, how you doing, Miss Alyssa? Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have you back. Our listeners love when you're on the program, and we're going to get right to it because, I tell you what, expectations are very high for your Steelers in 2017. And, you know, when I start looking at the records and all the stats and everything, it is hard to believe. It's been six seasons from their last AFC championship and eight seasons since their last Super Bowl victory. I know, Steeler Nation, you guys have got to be restless. What are the chances, Ike, that they get it done this year?
I like their chances. Just being in training camp, the key, you know, will be Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Big Ben, and Le'Veon Bell healthy. I think last year, They had a good shot of beating the Patriots, just some missed opportunities. At the same time, when you get a Martavis Bryant back, that's going to be huge. Hopefully, Le'Veon Bell comes back. Last year was probably the only time that offensive line stayed healthy throughout the duration of the season. And you saw how good the offensive line was, you know, top three offensive line in the NFL. So that's it. They got the pieces to the puzzle. They have the talent. It's just having everybody there on the field. For the last 3.5, 4 years, they haven't, you know. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams got hurt going into Denver a couple of years. They still almost came out with the W. Last year, Martavis Bryant wasn't available. Le'Veon Bell had a groin injury last year, the first series of that Patriots game. So it takes 1 year, one game for those guys. I think if them three guys can stay healthy, I'm sorry, four guys,
yeah,
can be on the field all at once, A.B., Martavis Bryant, Big Ben, and Le'Veon Bell. If those guys can be on the field at once throughout the whole season, it's going to be hell for a lot of defenses.
That's right. Hey, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor, back with us at the Next Generation of Sports Radio. That is SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And you rattle off those big names with the Steelers. Talk to me about, I mean, what is the offseason like? I mean, what was the focus in the offseason for them to be able to take that next step? Obviously, as you were just mentioning, I mean, so many of the big names, Ben Roethlisberger, they've got that core. But what are those additional pieces of the puzzle that they need, Ike, to go further?
It's defense. You know, the last six games, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense was number one in a lot of categories when you want to talk about statistics. And you got to understand, it's a young defense in its prime. Like, guys who've been playing 3 or 4 years in their prime. You know, they got a few guys who kind of old, Mike Mitchell, James Harrison, a.k.a. Debo, William Gage. Other than them three guys, everybody else are like year 5, 6, 7, the most. So that's a lot of prime guys. Coach G started two rookies last year, Sean Davis at the free safety position and Artie Burns at the cornerback position, which is unheard of. Usually just a traditional way from the Pittsburgh Steelers, rookies don't start. Or they don't play till the second year. At 4 and 5 last year, Coach T made the decision to start two rookies in the secondary, and they wind up being 11 and 5. So it's just the growth and maturity from those young guys, from rookies to second-year guys, just being consistent, learning how to be a professional every week in the NFL.
So it's really, as you're saying, it's about getting more reps in order to be more consistent defensively, because I know so many of the Steeler fans, they miss those glory days of the Steel Curtain, you know, defensively, because that's what this organization was all about, was the D.
They're in the making of being a real good defense, because you just said it best, the reps.
Yeah.
So these guys all getting on the same page. They're getting in the same rhythm. Communication is more fluent now. Everybody knows each other's strength and weaknesses. So when you have that, you all on one page accordingly, from the defense line, linebackers to the secondary. So it's even better from a defensive coordinator perspective, because now you have guys who have a lot of reps together. It's something like a band. You know, playing defense is just like playing in a band.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got to be on the same page. And
yeah,
when you got a guy who's off, it kind of hurts the band. When you got a guy who's new and who needs to catch up to how the band is doing, it hurts the band in the beginning. And these guys finally figured it out towards the end of the season. And I think this year, man, they're going to have a heck of a defense.
All right, what about the linebacker position? I mean, I have to wonder just how much the loss of Lawrence Timmons, how much that impacts the D ultimately?
Not at all. You got a guy not as athletic as Lawrence Timmons, but Vince Williams went to Florida State, too, also with Lawrence Timmons. This guy, he's been waiting. So you want to talk about rookies who couldn't play because they had to wait. He's one of those guys who's been waiting, got reps, got experience, and now it's Vince time. You know, so Vince been putting everything he needed to do to put himself in this position, and this wasn't given to him. He actually earned this position. So you feel comfortable on letting a first-round draft pick like Lawrence Timmons go. Even though I feel like Lawrence Timmons have a lot left in the tank, you just feel comfortable enough because you feel like Vince Williams is ready.
The AFC North coverage continues right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are visiting with two-time Super Bowl champion of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The great Ike Taylor is with us. And you want to talk about a formula for success. And the conductor, that is the veteran quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, obviously the driving force behind the offense. How has he looked, Ike, in training camp? Give us an update on Ben.
Still having fun.
He's having fun, and, okay.
And enjoying himself.
Okay.
You know, I feel like Big Ben is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He really doesn't get the recognition he deserves. You know, we talk about a lot of other quarterbacks, but we really don't talk about Ben how we should. I mean, he is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He's been to three Super Bowls. When you want to talk about being big, strong, athletic, extended plays, and then a guy who kind of revamping his career to sitting in the pocket, only moving when he needs to. Then a guy having young receivers that he molds. You know, year in and year out, he got a different core of receivers, and he still managed to put this organization and this team into playoff contention. That's a Hall of Fame kind of guy. So just looking at Big Ben now, man, he's focused. Hopefully he get all his weapons back. If not during training camp for the season, and I think, man, he's going to explode. I think if Ben gets Martavis and Bell back on the field with him and Antonio Brown, statistically, this might be Ben's best season.
Wow. You bring great perspective and insight. So talk to me about how many more seasons does Ben Roethlisberger have with the Steelers, and you know, how serious, Ike, was he contemplating retirement? Because he gave the Steeler fan base a bit of a fright. There was some high anxiety, like, what's going on? Is he going to retire? So it was good to see him, that he is returning for his 14th NFL campaign.
You're talking about, you know, men having kids and the kids being girls. You know, I only have a son, but a lot of my teammates and my homeboys say having a girl changed your life when you have a little daughter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just from Ben's perspective, this is going on his 15th year, I think.
Yeah.
Family comes first, you know? Mm-hmm. That daughter saying daddy comes first.
Mm-hmm.
So in the off season, you have a lot of time to reflect, and you're spending more time with your family. So I can see why. You know, that speculation with him, you know? You can't get them years back. You can't get the moments back when you want to talk about with kids. So that's understandable, you know, especially when you didn't had a lot of success. It's hard to find Big Bens in the draft or just in the league in general. So that's why everybody kind of, like, get nervous when he says that, which is totally understandable. But just coming from Ben's perspective, I can see what he said when you want to talk about a family-first perspective, especially when we're talking in the off-season, especially when you talk about fathers having daughters.
Yeah. It certainly changes everything. I thought you brought up a great point, Ike, that Ben Roethlisberger, you know, worthy. He is a Hall of Fame player. He's had a Hall of Fame career. Where would you rank him among the quarterbacks right now in the league, Ike?
You can give me Big Ben, you know, over a lot of quarterbacks. But between him and Tom Brady, it's hard. You know, you can't take away what Tom Brady has done in his career. But I wouldn't see why Ben wouldn't be right there with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't see why. You know, I wouldn't see why. So a lot of other guys, statistically, you know, they have a lot of stats that's padded, but they don't have a lot of Super Bowls. I mean, the only two who's really been winning Super Bowls after Super Bowls is Tom got 5, Eli Manning got 2, Big Ben got 2. Everybody else got one. So you can say what you want to say, but between them three, them guys looking at 9 Super Bowls, mm-hmm. 3 quarterbacks.
Hey, Ike Taylor, with us a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into this interview without connecting with you. That's right. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can always email the show at info@eradiosports.com and our podcast page, that is podcastarena.com. We are zeroing in on the AFC North. That's right, the Pittsburgh Steelers and 2-time Super Bowl champion. Oh, we love him when he's on the show. Pittsburgh Steelers, that's right. Ike Taylor is with us, giving some great insight and perspective. So talk to me about the depth at the quarterback position. We were just talking about Ben Roethlisberger, but what about, hey, I'm very familiar with Landry Jones. We remember his days playing for Bobby Stoops at Oklahoma. He's a solid backup for Ben, right?
So I have this argument with a lot of people. You know, I like Landry Jones. And it's hard to be a backup for Big Ben because it's always that comparison. And I tell people all the time, don't compare Landry with Big Ben. That's just like comparing, you know, Landry with the other top-ranked quarterbacks. It's unfair. You do Landry no justice. Also, I feel like Landry has the potential, if Landry took all the first-team reps, if Landry had 16 games, was a healthy, with a healthy offense around him, he's not Big Ben, not at all, but he's going to win a lot of games. He's going to win over 10 games, I think. Again, we talked about having reps early on in this interview, and that's all I think Landry Jones needs is reps. Mm-hmm. So, comparing him to Big Ben. Look at Landry Jones as Landry Jones. Look at the weapons he would have on offense. Give him the reps in practice and during the games. I think the man will be successful.
We are zeroing in on the Pittsburgh Steelers with 2-time Super Bowl champion Ike Taylor. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. So delighted to have with us 2-time Super Bowl champion of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that is Ike Taylor. Now, how tremendous of an opportunity is this for Landry Jones to be under the wing, the tutelage of Ben Roethlisberger, as we're talking about a future Hall of Fame quarterback?
Not only are you under a Hall of Fame quarterback, future Hall of Fame quarterback, you're under a former head coach in Ty Haley, who's now the OC. Mm-hmm. You're under a Hall of Fame offensive line coach in Munchak, who coaches the offensive line. You're under a living legend from the Pittsburgh, Aliquippa area in the wide receiver coach and Coach Mann. And you're under a great head coach and Coach Tomlin. So he's surrounded by greatness on offense from a coaching standpoint. We're not even talking about from a teammate standpoint, from a coaching standpoint. So all Landry doing is soaking all the information up like a sponge, and he just needs the opportunity to get the reps in.
My final question for you is, like, how explosive is this offense going to be in 2017? It sounds like the Steelers are going to be very balanced in this offensive attack. And also, how is it all ultimately going to play out?
I don't know. I think you said it best. It will be balanced as far as, like, giving Le'Veon and probably James Conner a few reps. But I think it will be more passing than anything. And the reason why I'm saying passing is because Le'Veon, as a running back, can't come out the backfield and be a pass catcher. So you can run the ball enough with Le'Veon to control the clock when you need to. At the same time, you can open the offense up when Le'Veon comes out the backfield, let alone having Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown on the outside with you. So I would lean more towards passing. That's why I was saying statistically, if everybody's healthy, I can see Ben having an outstanding season.
Former Steelers standout cornerback Ike Taylor has been with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He played his entire career as a Steeler. He was drafted in the fourth round of the 2003 draft. 2-time Super Bowl champion. He is a winner, and we love him when he's on our program at SB Nation Radio,
Thank
the
you.
Big E Sports Show. Ike, I promise we'll reconvene. We will talk again real soon, my friend. We love you when you're on the show. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
A very special thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, don't drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best, the Big E Sports Show.